City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, along with Jim Neubauer, Mandan City Administrator, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access on Wednesday, March 7th.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Just still digging out a little bit from the snow, but...
Yep. We've got a lot of Mandan has been dug out so far, so we're pretty pleased with the progress.
It's looking good over there.
Yep.
Pretty clear.
Yep. Kudos to our public works folks because they've been working a lot of hours and getting people dug out. So
yeah.
It's a good
thing. We'll end the show today talking about the snow updates, talk a little bit about the routes and where it's at. But back to the agenda from last night, Mandan City Commission met.
Right.
And it was a fairly short meeting. You had an abbreviated number of commissioners as well, only three at the table last night.
Yep, always kind of interesting when you know one of Mayor Helbling was out of town and you get a phone call from a commissioner who's been out sick for a few days and they don't really want to come back in and
understandably,
spread that. So we made sure we had three commissioners there and the agenda was reasonably light last night, so it was a good thing.
Yeah. Well, you had a quorum and that's all
yes.
you need, right?
Yep.
Three out of five. So one of the first things that was up on the agenda is under your consent agenda items was this a topic that you and I have talked about a number of times, and this was the replacement of a water transmission line. And
right.
The action last night was to approve a grant application to pay for some of this through the State Water Commission.
Correct. We've got really two major projects that are in our water system. One is a new intake. Due to the sandbars on the Missouri River kind of moving all over the place at times. And another project that we have had on the books for quite some time is we have a 30-inch transmission line running from our water treatment plant up to the what we call the Sunset Reservoir, but really it is the reservoir on Old Red Trail.
Yeah, let's bring up a map right now that we could demonstrate a little bit of the area that this particular reservoir serves in Mandan. We're talking obviously west of the river and north of the interstate.
Yep. If you're familiar with streets of Mandan, if you look in pretty much the northwest quadrant of Mandan, which if you take Division Street and go north all the way out to Rough Riders, that 30-inch line and that reservoir serve a goodly portion of Mandan.
Mm-hmm.
And that line has been put in, I think, in the 70s. And we have had, I think, one blowout probably 10, 15 years ago. And we've always known there's been issues with it, but it has not. We haven't had any major problems with it for many years until November of 2016. We had a significant break in that line, and we did an emergency repair. And then again in November, December of 2017, we had another break in that line. So we're moving that project up on the priority list.
Right. Yep. As I said, we have talked about this in the past. And the total cost for this, Jim, you estimate at this point to?
Total cost is around $5.6 million.
Okay. So the grant application to the State Water Commission would be, you told me earlier, about 60%?
Right. There's a cost share formula that the Water Commission uses. So, you know, there's some give or take in there, and that roughly works out to about 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are, last night the Commission approved forwarding that application to the Water Commission, and which they will take it under advisement, and they also need to approve those applications too.
And that will happen next month?
We are hoping it'll be on, I believe the Water Commission meets on April 12th, and so we're hoping that will be on their agenda then for consideration. We will give an update on our status on the water intake project at that time also. So nothing's ever easy. And these two projects, like I said, they are significant for the city, but it is relating to drinking water, so they are necessary projects
absolutely.
That we need to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll move on, and you'll come back to us after that decision is made on the grant.
We will keep you updated.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Sounds good. Another item that came up last night, again, on the consent agenda was one we've talked about many times, and this was Mandan Hill Project, a residential housing project up
Residential housing project, Mandan Hills, originally started by Mike Cook developer, and Mike unfortunately passed away unexpectedly this past fall, and they're now starting to move forward on that project. And like I said, the Planning and Zoning Commission heard information from it the last Monday in January, and or in February, I believe, and it goes to the City Commission last night for their consideration. The Commission last night approved final plat for that subdivision, so that will make its way moving forward.
So this is, for people who may not know exactly where this is, this is the hill in Mandan on the east end that has the Mandan written out in rocks. It's in that area.
One side of Crying Hill has the Mandan in concrete, white concrete. The other, the south side of the Crying Hill, has Mandan in pine trees. And this development is to the north of that area. You can see dirt work was started last summer on this project.
Sure, and this is phase one. There potentially maybe additional development up there, but this would be the first.
Phase one is moving forward, and we understand that they're now able to sell some of the lots, and I think there are a number of folks that are very interested in building homes.
Well, it's a very convenient location, right in the, you know, very, very conveniently located.
One of the things we talked about before is connecting Division Street over to Mandan Avenue. This will be another piece of that. I'm not sure exactly, depending on how this development goes, that connection will eventually be made, but that is not on the docket right away. Like I said, we will see how the development goes and progresses, but we would expect that within the next couple of years, that connection to Mandan Avenue would be made.
All right. And continuing on the consent agenda items was something that people might not be aware of, but it's fire hydrant painting time, and you contract that out every year.
We've been going probably for 10 years with HIT Incorporated, as we looked at and said, you know, it used to be Public Works or the fire department would go out and, you know, have to wire brush the hydrants off and repaint them and things like that. We got together with HIT and they made a proposal to us, and we've been very fortunate to have them on board ever since. So every year we contract with HIT to paint about 150 to 175 fire hydrants. They will take a block of town and work on the hydrants in that area, and then just move throughout the community and make sure that, you know, every 7, 8 to 10 years, hydrants are brushed and repainted. So if folks in the summertime see that activity going on, that's what they're doing, and that's part of, you know, our maintenance on the fire hydrants.
Any options on color, or are we sticking
we are sticking with red. And one of the things that some people have done is they may want, I think I've seen a fire hydrant in town painted like a Dalmatian, which is very cute and looks kind of nice.
It's confusing for dogs, though.
Well, it might be confusing for dogs. And the other thing that the hydrants are, if they are painted a different color, will mean that there is a different size connection on that hydrant. So the last thing that we want is someone out painting the hydrant and maybe they paint it yellow.
Right.
And yellow might indicate there's a different size attachment to go onto that hydrant versus a red one.
They serve an important purpose. So they're really not an opportunity for public art there.
Not really. And so, like I said, we try and get them painted red. And if there's a different size fitting that goes on there with the hose, we will paint that the appropriate color.
Sounds good. So that, and I would assume as the weather permits,
Start? You know, HIT does a very good job, and they'll be out there all summer long. You know, you might not see them for a week, and they might be going 2 weeks strong and then take a week off. All depends on their workforce and how they do that too.
All right. We'll move on. Yep. Another item on the agenda last night, consent agenda, was a new beer license for a Dialectic Brewing Company. And we've talked about the project before, but they're getting close.
We have talked about this before. Another brew pub going downtown. If you're familiar with Dialectic, they will be going into the building that formerly housed the jewelry store, Wickham's Jewelry, I believe. And in turn, this license will be effective April 1st. And as of yesterday, I did see them moving equipment in the front door. So I know they've been working on it quite a bit. They've been getting their federal brewing licenses up to speed, their city licenses now in place, and they would probably open sometime after April 1.
Another reason to go over there.
Yeah, they're pretty excited about moving forward with this project. And again, we've seen a number of whether it's a brew pub, or we've talked about Thomas Moriarty's, we've talked about the beer hall. You know, there are probably three new establishments in downtown Mandan
Some
that
nice
you might want to...
new nightlife.
Yep, take a take a gander through and walk through and have a cocktail.
All right. So we'll come back to that when they open up. I'll give you a shout out on that one, too. New business last night. One of the things that came forward was an adoption for Morton County's emergency mm-hmm. operations plan.
Right.
That was brought forward by their emergency operator director.
Yep.
And that is Tom Doering.
Tom Doering is the Morton County Emergency Manager. Part of the requirements for the county in order to apply for different grants that are available through the federal government or state government is you need to have an emergency operations plan in place. This plan not only covers Mandan, but there's different parts of it for Glen Ullin and New Salem and Almont and Hebron. And so this is Mandan's turn to adopt that plan. And I know that Tom Doering has worked with the police chief and fire chief and updating all of our contact information and things like that. So that adoption or resolution to adopt that plan was presented by Tom last night.
That's so everybody is literally operating out of the same hymn book, right?
Yep. And it's important to know so that, you know, it doesn't talk about every single incident that may happen in an emergency, but it provides us with kind of like the guidebook on, mm-hmm. okay, if I need 15 backhoes, I need 25 scrapers, I need 13 long stick attachments, who and where to go to, and they update that on an annual basis so that information is relatively current, and so you don't have to be calling around looking for this equipment if an emergency does occur,
mm-hmm.
and also how these incidents are handled.
And I would assume that all the communities within the county are adopting this plan as well.
Correct.
So everybody's...
Yep. So we're not the only,
the plan.
I think Morton County adopted this in December of 2017, and okay. Tom is making his way through the cities in Morton County for their adoption.
Is this an annual process
you
that
know,
they go through?
I don't think the formal adoption has been done in a few years, so there was, okay. I think, some updating that needed to be done on this.
Okay.
You know, talks about what if we have some flooding from the Heart River. What's the plan in place to do that? So the important part for the public to know is that, yes, these are things that we do take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do have a plan. And yes, we've adopted that plan.
Okay. All right. Resolution establishing the building tax exemption or new home builds. Now, this was at your last city commission meeting. You had a discussion about this and some presentations and a decision was made on new home building, does the two-year tax exemption continue? And it does for this year.
Does for this year. And that's part of the commission's desire to always review any of the exemptions that we have out there. This was scheduled for January of this year due to some, we wanted to gather our year-end stats for 2017 before we made a presentation to the commission. So we did that. Gathered the survey information, compiled that, presented that to the commission, asked them, there are several options that present. Leave the first $75,000 for the first 2 years of a home, a new home, would be exempt. Commission could have upped that to $150,000 or anywhere in between zero and $150,000. And also whether they wanted to keep the 2 years or, bring it down to 1 year. And the commission at their last meeting directed us to bring us back a resolution that, reading a resolution sometimes is a little complicated, but in the nuts and bolts of it, if you apply for a single family home building permit and is taken out in 2018, you will have you'll be afforded the opportunity to have a $75,000 exemption for 2 years. If you build in 2019, and that's when your building permit comes in, then you will be afforded 1 year of the $75,000 okay. exemption.
So just clarified it, put it in writing, and that's where you're going from here.
Clarified it, put some effective dates on there. And again, the important part was we know that there are folks who have contracts in place to build homes in 2018. And if this was part of their consideration that, hey, we accounted for, I think the savings is about $890 or $900 per year. That was part of our financing plan, to have that exemption available for the first 2 years of our home ownership.
Sure.
We wanted to make sure that we weren't cutting them off at the knees.
Right.
And therefore...
So that stays in place.
That stays in place. And like I said, it'd be for 2019 permits and moving forward. And the commission will come back in 2019 and reevaluate that exemption again to see if they want to continue it, adjust it, or like I said, nothing is set in stone forever. And I think that's their message, is that we can always come back and revisit.
Mm-hmm. So again, just to clarify, this is new home construction.
New home construction.
And it's the first $75,000 of value that is exempted, correct?
Yep. And it was, when it was originally set at $75,000, that in essence in the 80s and 90s, that was probably the price of a new home.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I think the new home price average is probably $225,000 to $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the exemption has not kept up, but it is still... it's still a worthwhile incentive for folks to apply.
But it
for.
Doesn't matter the value of your home. It's
doesn't
just
matter.
The first $75,000.
For $75,000, if your house cost you $50,000, and that's the value on it, then your $50,000 would be exempt. But I don't think I've seen a building permit come in for $50,000 for a long time. So.
All right. So that's done. It's in place.
Yep, in place, and we'll move on.
Okay.
To the next round.
And we'll move on to the next subject, and that was It's another subject that keeps coming back. I mean, we talk about, we might introduce something and then we talk about it four or five times on this program before it's actually in its final stages.
Right.
And this was an update to the city laws regarding off-highway vehicles.
Yep. I think the important part when you bring up, we've talked about some of these things before, absolutely. And most things that the commission will consider, they don't necessarily take that step the first time they hear it. They will take into consideration, okay, what's the issue? What's going on? Let's make sure what we do, we're all well informed of. We had a request, I think, in 2016 from some folks that said, we've looked at your off-highway vehicle ordinances and they are cumbersome and they're kind of messy and we really don't understand.
We don't understand.
So we were getting that from our police department. Also going, we're not sure how we can enforce them or what to enforce. So the commission in August of 2016 put together a committee, which included law enforcement and also included folks from the ATV world. And because those were the folks asking, what do we really do here? And
sure.
We didn't really have a good answer for them.
Yeah.
August 2016, if you remember, there was a little thing called some DAPL protest activities going on, which took the full attention of our police department.
Sure.
And so we reconvened this group after that activity was completed and got to work back on this ordinance.
Yeah. Because I think you had a law enforcement individual that was spearheading this committee.
Yep.
I understand.
Deputy Chief Jason Beer.
Okay.
I think took the lead on this. Mm-hmm. I know Commissioner Labor was part of it. And then we had several other folks on there from outside of city government. And so that's where we get some of the public input. And sometimes you get folks on opposite ends of the spectrum. And with this committee, I think you had a lot of folks that wanted it wide open. You should be able to run your ATV or your golf court or whatever else on the city street. And from a police side, it's like, that's probably not the best idea in the world. We need to make sure we're in compliance with what state law is, and also what we can effectively manage.
Mm-hmm. It's a process over time, as you mentioned, too. Again, back to this, we repeat, we come back. It
we
comes
repeat.
Back to the commission. There's a process here. It would be very unhealthy for, as you say, for the commission to act on the first time they discuss something or sometimes that it's brought to their attention. These processes are in place for good city management.
It calls for, and like I said, in an issue like this, where you sometimes have opposite ends of the spectrum, and you try and find some place in the middle.
Right.
What is the art of a good compromise? Is nobody walks away happy and gets whatever they want. In this case, the Deputy Chief Beer brought the proposal back to the commission in, I think, October of 2017 and said, all right, commissioners, here's what we've been working on. If you like what you're hearing, then Deputy Chief Beer met with City Attorney Brown. The commission in this fall gave the green light, said, yeah, we like what you've done. Go ahead, draft the appropriate ordinances. So Malcolm and Jason have been working on those ordinances ever since. And the final product now came before the commission for the first reading on Tuesday night.
And some of the changes, without getting into all the detail, but golf carts are not permitted.
Golf carts are not permitted on city streets.
Snowmobiles under certain conditions.
Right. Interesting you bring up snowmobiles as part of our pre-planning for the storm that occurred this past weekend and Monday and Tuesday. was that between our fire department and police department, we had made contact with our local snowmobile dealers so that those, I'm not even sure if snowmobile is the right term anymore for that activity, but we had those on reserve in case the storm hit and we would have trouble moving around town, that we had some of those in place. Those plans were in place and ready to move in case there was an emergency. Yeah, no snowmobiles on the city streets and no golf carts on streets. And if you are interested in reviewing the ordinances, if you go on our city website, the agenda packet for the commission on Tuesday night, you can read through that ordinance. And the first reading was on Tuesday night, and second reading will be March 20th.
So it'll come back to the commission for final consideration?
Yep. Any ordinance change resolutions, you can have a reading and you're done. We had a resolution on the two-year tax exemption. That is complete. The ordinance change, we need to have a first reading and then a second reading.
Okay. Well, let's talk about snow.
Oh.
There's been a little bit of it. Did we get, I heard, 8 inches of snow?
I think 8.5 inches is we've heard from folks. So
yeah.
A little bit coming down.
Jeff Wright, your public works director, gave a report last night at the commission meeting about the update. And again, starting with priority routes, that was their first line of attack.
Yep. First line of attack is always your major thoroughfares, whether it's Main Street, First Street, Collins Avenue, Van Ann Avenue, Old Red Trail, things like your main arterials are the streets that we're going to hit first.
Mm-hmm.
They were out sanding early in the morning on Monday and part of Sunday, I believe. And like I said, I think they've made great progress. They've been into most of the residential neighborhoods so far, clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of hoping for a nice, we always like a slow melt.
Yeah.
At this time of year, you're going, okay, fast snow melts sometimes pose another problem of themselves going into the stormwater system.
On your website, you do have a map in your public works area. You do have an interactive map that actually shows those priority routes and then the next routes being school routes and then the bus routes and residential go on from there. But that kind of helps demonstrate where they're going to hit first. So if people wonder why, you know, these are the major routes that people need. The majority of the population needs to move around in the community. It takes a while for them to get into the residential areas.
Takes a little time, and again, the priority routes will hit your main thoroughfares, will hit your schools, will hit your clinics, your hospitals, your assisted living centers. Last year at this time, we were working with the commission created what we called the snow committee. Obviously, last year we had a lot more snow to deal with, and we brought in some folks from the public that were interested in helping us determine if what we were doing was right. We made some adjustments and took their input. And like I said, we've changed a few things based on that. So this year, I know the pre-planning started on last week, Thursday and Friday, making sure that we had the proper people and the proper equipment in place. And like I said, I think from a standpoint of moving snow, I think we did a pretty good job of that. And haven't had too many complaints so far, knock on wood.
Well, and it can get frustrating. People have to be remember to be patient because the crews are doing their best. And you got to remember that these people are on call. And a lot of times their job requires them to be out on weekends and holidays and that type of thing. So they do a great job in our community, I think, considering that how sporadic and unexpected sometimes these things are.
It's really sometimes it's a no-win job.
Yeah.
But like I said, it is our responsibility to get the streets cleared and make sure that the public can move from place to place. It may take a little while, depending on the snow, to get into the residential neighborhoods. But we're hoping that once you get to that thoroughfare and that main avenue, main artery, that you can get to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know driving around yesterday and the last couple of days, I think our crews have done a pretty good job of making sure people can get to where they need to.
So it's the crews are out there, but so is the law enforcement, keeping up with some of the fender benders that are going on too. So people just need to be reminded to
need to be
slow
reminded
down.
Yeah. Take a few extra minutes to get to where you're going. One of the other things I think we should probably touch on is garbage and recycling collection. If you hit or like us on Facebook and our also our cityofmandan.com website, they will have the revised garbage pickups because okay. I don't think Armstrong was out on Tuesday picking garbage up. So they're kind of moving you back a day or two and recycling. They're going to hit some other areas this week and try and get those taken care
of. We've seen those notices coming through. So, yes, there's been modification to the pickup schedules. So there's a reason for it.
Again, doing our best to a lot of snow, doing our best to make sure the public is kept informed of when to put it out. And if you have issues, if something happened and you didn't get your trash picked up, you can always call Armstrong Sanitation and you can always call Waste Management on your recycle. And we'll do our best to get you taken care of.
Great. Well, the bulk of the, obviously most of the snow has been removed so far, been plowed. So we're sitting on the tail end of that. Nice wet snow too.
Snow, good for
get a little moisture.
A little bit of moisture, and like I said, I think we're hopefully we're past that, and you know, every day is a day closer to spring right now.
We can only dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although March, April sometimes bring your heaviest and snow, and not to say we don't need the moisture because obviously we really do, but like I said, I think when we deal with it in these types of situations, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming in, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Done for the day. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yep.
And thank you for tuning in to this edition of Mandan City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.